blessing? Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 18. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, 2 Kings, chapter number 18. Thank you again for being here today. I hope that God will deal with your heart and your life about some things. The Bible's a precious book, isn't it? We find everything we need right here. We found a lady in this portion of Scripture that we don't hear much about. As a matter of fact, I've never heard a message preached on her before. I'm certain there have been over the years. But I want to introduce her to you today. And the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did." This morning I want to preach on Abi, the mother of Hezekiah. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given to us to open thy word, Lord, to read of it, read in it, learn from it. Lord, now it's time for the preaching of it. And I ask you to empower me with the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that today we would hear from heaven. Lord, anything foolish that I might say, I pray would be stricken. And Lord, all that you would have said would be given. Lord Jesus, I need thee. I can't do this in myself. Everyone here needs to hear from you. And I pray, oh Father, that you would do the work that needs to be done and we'd be obedient to thy bidding. We'll thank you and praise you for what's accomplished. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This passage of Scripture, we're introduced to a great lady. Her name's Abby. And she has a husband whose name was Ahaz. We'll talk a little bit more about these characters here in just a little bit. But Ahaz was the king of Judah. He was a wicked king. And the Bible teaches us in 2 Kings chapter 16 that some of the things that he did and the ungodliness in his life. The Bible says that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God. We'll look more at some of the things he did in just a few moments. So we find that Abby's married to a man that's idolatrous, a man that's wicked, a man that's ungodly. And she's married to a man that no doubt we would not want our daughter to be married to. But she is married. We don't understand why or how. But she and Ahaz have a son. And her son's name is Hezekiah. So we find that Abby's a mother. And of all the great things that God has given a woman to do, one of the greatest is that of being a mother. There's no doubt about it. Abby is a godly mother. We figure this out because of her name and because of her life and because of her son. A godly mother is a mother that, number one, has influence. There's nothing that will influence a child's life more than a godly mother. But not only does a godly mother have influence, a godly mother instructs. She teaches her children. She helps them to know certain things about life. I think when I think about a mother instructing a son or a child, I think of the mother of Moses. And I think of how she must have taught him all the things so that we could have the record of the book of Genesis. I imagine as Moses was on his mother's knee, as she was his nurse through the mighty providence of God, growing up there in the house of the king of Egypt, I can imagine how she would be instructing him and teaching him of the things of God and of the things of creation and of the mighty hand of God in the life of his creation. And we have recorded writings of the book of Moses. There's no doubt that that the mother of Moses was a great instructor when it comes to certain things. I think in the New Testament of Timothy's mother and grandmother, the Bible teaches us, and I've preached on her so many times, and we've looked at Eunice and at Lois, and we've seen how that they instructed their children, their son and grandson. And we realize that they had taught him from a child. He knew the things of God. And to begin to realize what a godly mother is, and to begin to understand that a godly mother is a mother that has influence, and a godly mother is a mother that instructs. And I believe as we look at Abby, and there's not many things written about her. As a matter of fact, we only see her two times in the Bible. But I believe that we're going to find that Abby had to be a godly mother. First of all, I want you to see that Abby knew the Lord. She knew the Lord. The very name Abby means Jehovah is my father. And she has her earthly father whose name is Zechariah, the Bible says in verse number 2. That his mother's name also was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And the name Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. And Zechariah is a prophet. He is one of those gifted men that God has given. That he's a seer, if you will, a prophet. And he has a daughter by the name of Abby. And Zechariah, no doubt, told his daughter about the things of Jehovah. You can imagine that as a child, she was taught the things of God and about the mighty hand and the workings of God. And she come to the place where she would understand these things and realizing as she grows up hearing about the blessings of God and the judgments of God and the might of God, we realize that she more than likely became a very godly lady. But there's a great mystery, and that mystery is that she would marry a man like she did. Was it something arranged? Was it something that just had to happen, you know? And the Old Testament things were different. But we know that she married a man by the name of Ahaz. Not a very good man. We don't know a whole lot of things about her or how long she lives. Her name's only mentioned twice in the Bible. Here and in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29 is mentioned as Abijah, which Abby's short for that. The mother of Hezekiah. That's the only times we see her name throughout the whole Bible. The only things that were given about her. So we have to go to her son to find out things about this mother. Realizing that her name means Jehovah is my father, and her father's name means Jehovah remembers, we realize that she had a great heritage. And we can be quite confident in her ability as a mother as she influences her son and instructs her son. So Abby knew the Lord. The second thing I want you to see today is Abby told her son about the Lord. Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz and Abby. And Ahaz means he is grasped. And when we think about that, we can see that Ahaz apparently grasps all the wickedness and all the idolatry of this world. Look back with me, if you will, to chapter number 16 and verse number 1. The Bible says, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from among the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. We see the idolatry and the wickedness of Ahaz. The Bible teaches us that he was sacrificing children as burnt offerings to pagan gods. Can you imagine the wickedness? Can you imagine the treachery of a man like Ahaz? Can you imagine what it must have been like growing up in his house, living under his authority and under his influence? The Bible goes on, and it says in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 16, And so Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Assyria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasure, in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. Ahaz makes a pact with the Assyrians, a very evil, very ungodly people. I'm talking about a wicked people. And Ahaz makes a pact with them, and he takes away, the Bible says he goes to the point where he actually takes away the silver and gold from the house of the Lord and gives it as a present to the king of Assyria. Ahaz is nothing but a terrible influence to the life of Hezekiah. We don't see one good thing out of Ahaz. Everything we see is he's tied up with this world. He's worshiping the gods of this world. He's going to the groves. He's going to the high places. He's sacrificing children. He's taking money from the house of the Lord and giving it to a wicked and ungodly people. He says, I want to join up with you. I want you to help me as we fight Syria. So we understand that Hezekiah didn't learn the things that he does from his father. But he learned some great things from his mother. He learned some things that no doubt made such a difference in his life. This man in no way told Hezekiah about the Lord and about the ways of God. And many times in the Old Testament, the mother would name the child, especially if you know the Old Testament teaches us that men had sometimes many wives and concubines and the mother many times, not all the time, but many times would name the child. And I have no doubt that she named Hezekiah. I have no doubt that she gave him his name because Hezekiah means Jehovah is my strength. I don't think Ahaz would have wanted him to have a name like that. But that woman whose name means Jehovah is my father said, I want my son to know that his strength must come from God. And she names him Hezekiah. I can imagine as Abby is holding Hezekiah in her arms and singing to him the songs and the psalms of deliverance and the mighty hand of God and how that God through His power and through His great ability delivered the children of Israel and blessed them and judged them many times. And how in times of their greatest weakness and in times when they literally turned their back on God, in the times of their greatest vulnerability, that God was their strength. From a little child, she would hold him in her arms and she would talk about Jehovah God and all that He's done. And as he began to get older and began to understand some things, she'd say, son, you must rely not on the gods of this world, not on the groves and the high places, but you must realize that your hope must be in Jehovah God. Amen. Jehovah is your strength, son. Never forget your name. Hezekiah is your name. And you must proclaim the might and the power of Jehovah. She gave him his name knowing that she was going to teach him, knowing that from her womb she was going to teach him that he must rely on God and on the strength of God. And she did not fail. Her work was not in vain. Abby told her son about the Lord. Abby helped her to understand the things that her father had helped her to understand. Helped him to understand the things that she understood from her father. Abby took all that she knew and she invested her life into Hezekiah. She influenced him in the things of God. And she instructed him in the ways of God. That's what a great mother does. Amen. That's what a godly mother does. Anything less, I think we're not being everything that God wants us to be. You know, we're living in a society where parents are saying, well, you know, they just got to decide for themselves. Yes, they have to decide. We can't save them. We can't make them do certain things, but we can sure teach them right from wrong. We can sure teach children about the things of God. Well, I don't want to shove anything down their throat. I tell you, as long as they're in my house, I'm going to beat them into loving Jesus. Amen? I'm going to teach them about the things of God. They shouldn't have a choice. I know growing up in my house, my daddy got right with God. My mom and I got saved on the same night. My daddy got right with God. He was saved as a child. And he got right with the Lord. And I'll never forget, he was right with the Lord, and I wasn't saved. I was going to church, wasn't saved. And I always had an excuse, you know. Sunday morning, get up, I was still sleepy. Stay up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the night. Amen. Saturday Night Live, make you Sunday morning dead, you know. And so, stay up late, and it came time to get up and go to church. And I'd say, oh, I'm sick. I don't feel so good. And then my dad would say, throw up and prove it. And it never worked, you know. I had discussions like that quite a bit. I did it throughout the week, too. When it's time to go to school, oh, I'm sick. Knowing that I had a test that day, you know, I'm really sick. But you don't understand. I'm sick because I'm going to fail this test, you know. It's bad news. My mom would say, you're going to school. You're going to school. No choice. But I was blessed to have a great life growing up. But unfortunately, my mom didn't get saved. My dad was away from the Lord, but God was so gracious to me. When I was 18, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The very same night when I was at one end of the altar, down at the other end of the altar was my mom giving her life to the Lord. It was a great night. Amen. We had a changed family that night. From that time, I began to see my mom serve the Lord, and, you know, she and I liked Elvis. So I was listening to Elvis. I had to break her from the Elvis gospel, but anyway. It went from singing songs of the world to hearing hymns in our home. And she became she was a great mother all along. But she became a great godly mother after that. I began to see things in her life. You know, I'd watch her read her Bible and begin to realize what God had done. I wish she'd have been saved earlier and wish we'd had those years, you know, but God has a way of working in our lives. I don't want to go back and undo anything because God has got me to the point where I am through His leading and through His guiding. But you have an opportunity today to be the right kind of mother, the right kind of influence. You can invest your life in your children. You say, well, my children are out of the house now. They're no longer under my authority. Now, you don't have to have that authority, but you can have influence in their life. You never lose influence. I talk to my parents every day of my life because of the influence they've had in my life. Every day. Speak to them. I speak to my dad. I speak to my mom. Every day of my life. I have for years. And ever since I've been here, I call them all the time. Check on them. You know, it's funny. When you're a child, they take care of you. As you get older, you start taking care of them. You know, they call me for advice now. They call me saying, what do I need to do? And sometimes I want to say, you call me for that? You know, you want to fuss. And then you realize, oh, this is mom and dad. I can't fuss at mom and dad. I know I'm off the subject, but it's just, you know, you're away from your mom. Sometimes you miss seeing her. So, but I'm glad for the influence my mom's had in my life. She's crazy, but I love her. She really is. She's crazy. I'm not doing that. She's crazy. Y'all know her. She's a nut. But she loves the Lord. I would not trade anything to, you know, to not have that knowledge that she knows the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing I could have, is to know my mom, my dad know the Lord. My wife knows the Lord. My children know the Lord. Abby told her son about the Lord. Now, my mom didn't tell me about the Lord, but since she come to know Christ as Savior, she's influenced me. She's instructed me. She's encouraged me. It's not too late. What are you doing with your children? Well, my kids are 50 years old. That's exactly right. And you still ought to be influencing their life with the things of the Lord. Now, the last thing I want you to see. Abby knew the Lord. Abby told her children about the Lord, but I want you to see thirdly, Abby enjoyed seeing her son serve the Lord. Notice what the Bible says back in our text in chapter 18, verse number 3. Speaking of Hezekiah, the Bible says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." He did that which was right according to all that David his father did. Other kings before him that had done right, but not quite like Hezekiah. There were some good kings in the past history. I guess all history is past. There were kings in the history of Judah that were good kings. But this one says that he did like his father David. He was special. There was something about him. And the reason is because he had a mother that was sure to tell him about the things of God and the power of God and the might of God and helped him to understand that Jehovah is his strength. And we see that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible goes on and says in verse number 4, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Do you understand what the Bible's saying here? The things that his father enjoyed, the idolatry and the wickedness and all these things that were a part of his life as a little child growing up, we realize that he said, "I don't want any of this." Do you know how difficult it was for him to tear all this down? He had no friends. Judah had followed Ahaz. They were into idolatry. They were into Baal worship. They were following these things. But he said, "I don't care if no one else stands with me. Jehovah is my strength. I will stand for the things of God." Amen. And I want you to understand that you're never alone when you're standing for what's right. Amen. The world may be against you. The community may be against you. And your family may be against you. But if you're doing what is right, Jehovah will be your strength. Dear friends, I want you to see today that God in His grace and in His mercy has saved us, has called us out of this world, and He says we are to take a stand and He will strengthen us. I can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Everybody thought, what is He doing? The Bible goes on and says in verse number 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. This guy was a special guy. What made him so different? What made him to be like none before or none that followed? What made him so different? There was a little lady that was a part of his life. Her name was Abby. And she told him that Jehovah would take care of him. She told him that all he needed to do was trust the Lord and follow the Lord. And isn't that what the Bible says he did in verse number 5? Doesn't it say that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel? Where did he learn that? Did he learn it from Ahaz, his father? He learned it from his mother, maybe his grandfather, but he learned these truths, and he stood for the Lord. Verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him." And he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He clave to the Lord. He grabbed a hold of him, and he didn't let go, the Bible says. He departed not from following him. His goal was to follow the Lord and let the Lord be his strength. He kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him. He prospered whithersoever he went forth and rebelled against it. You remember that pact that his daddy made? Remember Ahaz and the king of Assyria? He said, we need you Assyrians to help us to fight the Syrians. And they took money, silver and gold from the treasure of the king's house, but also from the house of the Lord, and gave it as a present to the king of Assyria, that ungodly, wicked, unholy king. And the Bible says that Hezekiah rebelled against that king and served him not. There's no king but Jesus. No one to serve but him. How could he have grown up to be such a strong young man and godly young man? Because his mother taught him these things. If you'll read this here and then go to 2 Chronicles 29, you can read of a great revival. One of the greatest revivals that ever took place was when Hezekiah was king. It was short-lived. People turned their back on the Lord again, you know. It's just like us, how God blesses us and God brings us through and God does great things. And boy, we say, boy, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to do this. And we're all of a sudden, we're on fire for God. And then, you remember 9/11? You know, it's what everybody in our nation's forgotten now. They forgot those planes flying into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon heading to the White House, or the plane from in Pennsylvania. Forgot about that. But for 2 weeks we remembered the Lord. For 2 weeks we turned to God. For 2 weeks we said, God, we need you. And that's what happened with Judah. Hezekiah did great things, and then even Hezekiah wavered in his life. We're still flesh, still made out of clay. But he had a foundation because of a mother that told him about the things of God. Abby knew the Lord. Abby told her son about the Lord, and Abby enjoyed seeing her son serve the Lord. There was probably nothing more thrilling as she watched, as he had those groves and those high places and those idols torn down. And she watched as God moved in Judah once again and did great and mighty things. How exciting it must have been after all the instruction and all the influence that Abby had put into her son's life, that she said, it was worth it. It was worth Ahaz not wanting anything to do with me, because I've influenced my son. It was worth not going the way of Ahaz and remembering that Jehovah is my father. It's worth it. There's nothing that's more of a blessing to a mother than when she's taught her children to do right and they follow in those ways. But there's nothing more burdensome to a mother when she's taught her children to do right and they forsake in those ways. You're here today and you had a godly mother, and she's taught you the things of God, and you're not living your life the way that you know that God would have you to live. You need to get that right with the Lord today and with your mom. Be a blessing. Maybe you didn't have a godly mother. Maybe you didn't have that influence. I don't know. Well, change your family tree. Start today saying, we're going to be the right kind of family. I'm going to be the right kind of mom, the right kind of son, right kind of daughter. I'm going to be the right kind of husband. By the way, men, you can take hold of these principles too. Be what God wants us to be. A great mother is one that knows the Lord and teaches her children about the Lord. And the greatest thing that that anyone can do for that mother is to give their life to God and serve Him. It's the greatest honor for a mother is to see her children serving the Lord. I know mothers that not even separated, dedicated Christians, but when their children are doing the right things and living a moral, clean life because of God being in their life, they're proud of that son, that daughter. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. What are you doing with your life? You're either living it right or you're wasting it. There's no in between. There's no gray. Don't straddle the fence. If you're straddling the fence, you're wasting your life. Are you as close to the Lord now as you once were? Vance Hadner said, if you're not as close to the Lord now as you once were, then you're backslidden. That's pretty tough words, isn't it? If there was ever a day in your life, ever a day in your life where you were close to the Lord than you are now, then you're backslidden. That's what Vance Hadner was saying. I didn't say it. Vance Hadner said it. I just repeated it. But I believe it. Has your mother's influence, has it gone unnoticed? Or has it influenced you in a way that now you're living for God because of your mom? Is that mother that taught you out, is she pleased with the life you're living? Is God pleased with your life? Abby, two times her name is mentioned in the Bible. We don't know how old she was when she died, how old she was when she got married. We don't know if she had any more children. But we do know that she had a son named Hezekiah. And we do know that this son understood the things of God. And we do know that he didn't learn those things from his father. And we do know that God used Hezekiah in a great and mighty way. We don't know a whole lot else about Abby. But you know, there's so many things that you can learn about somebody through their children. And I hope you've learned something today. But more than that, I hope you've learned that you must trust the Lord. And even when the world is against you, God is for you. And He'll strengthen you and give you what you need. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day that You've given to us. Your mercy, Your grace, how sufficient. Lord, today as we think about mothers and the honor due to them, Lord, we recognize even to a much greater degree the honor that's due to Thee. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning under the sound of my voice that may not know You as Savior, and they're trying to live their life in their own strength or trying to make their own way. I pray that today they've come to an understanding of their need to rely on You. And today I pray that they would come and put their faith and trust in You to be their Savior. And I pray for those that are saved. We have the assurance that heaven's going to be our home, but Lord, we're not finding our strength in You. We're trying to still live our life on our own. We're not as pleasing to Thee as we ought to be. We've let the godly influence kind of go by the wayside. Lord, may today we find a place of renewal. Lord, a place where we come to Thee and confess to Thee and move forward. And I pray for those that are trying to do right and live right and be right, that have allowed the influences to continue to work in their lives. Lord, we recognize that in this day, the great battles that come with that. And I pray that today, as we try to continue in this faith, Lord, that we would come and ask for Thy strength to continue to help us. Be with all those that need to make decisions concerning their soul and salvation, concerning their obedience to Thee, by way of baptism or church membership, concerning just being obedient in their daily walk. Lord, may Thy will be done. We'll thank You for what You do and for what's accomplished. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano begins.